following program is brought to you in living color on NBC.
Spanning the globe to bring you the latest in classic rock news and comment. It's the Classic Guitar Rock Daily Update with your host, Jeremy Lunnon.
Hey, better late than never. Better late than never, and it's been a while, right? It's time for the special Monday edition of the Classic Guitar Rock Daily Update. I was gone for a few days out of town at a funeral for my mom. So it was a great weekend for a funeral. Who would think at a funeral? There was sadness, right? But there was also a lot of happiness and laughter, and it was actually a great weekend and celebration of my mom's life. So that was great, but I'm very happy to be back in the command center here for the Classic Guitar Rock Daily Update. So thanks for joining us. And let's hop to the news, shall we? Roger Daltrey of The Who fame, he is doing a solo tour. He's calling it an intimate tour of theaters and amphitheaters in the U.S. and Canada. He's also promising, he'll be doing some Who stuff, of course, but he's also promising some solo material and even some question and answer sessions. That's the thing now. You know, Geddy Lee did this whole Q&A tour, spoken word tour, and that's kind of the cool thing. Roger Waters did one. So if you're cool, that's kind of what you do right now. But this Daltrey tour will include, it's starting with only 9 cities, Boston, Detroit, Indianapolis, some of the towns, probably more will be added. So that's kind of cool. If you want to check out Roger Daltrey on his own, you can definitely do that. Now, I'm excited about this. Are you a fan of the ELO, the Electric Light Orchestra? I am. There are, in fact, no lights, but there is electricity and orchestra. Well, there are some lights. So, yeah, I guess that's adequate. And, of course, ELO, guys, let's be honest, ELO was always Jeff Lynne, but there were other people in the band. This article, this is from Ultimate Classic Rock. It says that Jeff is the only original member, but I mean, it really was Jeff Lynne anyways, but they will play more than 24 North American cities starting August 24th. They'll start in, Palm Desert, California, and they'll wrap up in Los Angeles, California at the end of October. But in all of that, they'll be hitting places all over North America. So that would be a great show. I'm a big fan of the Jeff Lynne and the Electric Light Orchestra. I think that would be great. Now, Jeff Lynne had said years ago that he wasn't going to tour, but he says, quote, "I just got talked into it by somebody on the radio." He's talking about when they got together and played in 2013. It was for charity, and we only had 2 numbers. That's all we practiced for. So we had to do Mr. Blue Sky twice. Well, to make a long story short, he's rehearsed up, right? They've practiced more stuff now. So hopefully the set list will be more than 2. I mean, those are great songs, but they'll be doing much more than that for this big tour. What does he say? So they did their two song set, right? He said it went down so great that then the BBC invited us to the Hyde Park concert for Radio 2. And that was in 2014. And that was more of a full blown show. So probably what you can expect is something more like what happened for the Radio 2 show in 2014. But Jeff Lynne, just a brilliant producer, writer, just a lot of great stuff, a lot of great work that he's done over the years. It's called the Over and Out Tour, and this is being billed as ELO's final shows. 27 North American cities after it starting in California on August 24th. And we said it's wrapping up in LA. Yeah, wrapping up in LA, but they'll be in, you know, the cities you'd expect if you're doing 20. What are the 27? You know, Seattle's on there, Detroit's on there, Denver. you know, the 27 towns you'd think of. Here's good news for Springsteen fans. The Boss is back. Now, if you remember, he had started a tour last year, and they ran into problems. Okay, first, several members of the touring entourage had the COVID, so that delayed some or canceled some shows. Then Bruce had what is it called? A septic ulcer? Is that what it's called? He had some health problems with his pooper. I don't know if that's where the problem was, but he had some problems, and he had to take a break. But the good news is March 19th, they're back, and there have been. He's made a few little stealth appearances last week. You might have saw where he snuck out and did a song with Mellencamp and some other things. So that's great. Here's the thing about the boss. His concerts are expensive, right? But at least when you go, I was going to say you get your money's worth. I don't know if you get your money's worth at any concert anymore, to be honest, because they're so expensive. But you at least get a full-blown, like a three-hour show. I mean, he doesn't leave anything on the stage, right? He gives you a great show. So that's awesome. So March 19th, hey, that's tomorrow. So tomorrow, and I think it's in Phoenix. Did I see that? I think, I'm not positive, but I think it's in Phoenix somewhere. In Phoenix. Yeah, tomorrow. Good news. Okay, so Bon Jovi. I was not aware of this until I just saw this. Apparently, there's a Bon Jovi, they call it a docu-series. Now, what's a docu-series? It's a documentary that's chopped up into a series. Docu-series. Isn't that clever? So Bon Jovi, they were at the South by Southwest conference. That's that big thing that happens where cool people go, right? So there's this Hulu docu-series called Thank You, Good Night, The Bon Jovi Story. And apparently, I mean, everyone at South by Southwest just loves Bon Jovi because they like were greeted like native sons, even though Austin, Texas is a long ways from New Jersey. But they were there and the crowd loved it. And this docuseries, it's actually been going on since, how did I miss this? It's been going on since 2022. The first episode filmed in 2022 set the stage for Bon Jovi's impending 40th anniversary, which took place last year. And it sees the band. It's like Hard Knocks, only with a rock band, sounds like. Okay. So it goes through all of that. And then they even chronicle the throat problems that John Bon Jovi was having. He had an atrophied vocal cord. And so it goes all through this. I'm going to have to check this out. I missed this. I didn't know there was anything like this. So that's pretty cool. Marlon checking in. Marlon says, am I late? No, you're late. He's right. I'm late. That's right. It's my fault. I am late, but better late than never. And hey, right back at you, Marlon. Thank you for checking in today. By the way, let me just throw a plug out. You can email me. You can chime in just like Marlon did, and that's awesome. But you can also email me, classicguitarrock@mail.com, and ask me anything. We have a great email we're about to get to here in a minute. Okay, from the Especially for Guitar Nerds file, and I'm one. You know who you are. Especially for the Guitar Nerds file, I'm surprised this hasn't happened yet. I was shocked when I read the headline, but then when I got to thinking, I'm like, well, it hasn't. Joe Satriani and Steve Vai are doing their first ever collaborative piece. It's titled Sea of Emotion Part 1. Now, they've done the G3 tour forever. So they played live together multiple times, but they have never done a song together where they play together on a song. This is the first time. The full-length track arrives on March 29th, complete with the video by Satriani's son, ZZ. So Joe's son, ZZ Satriani, is a filmmaker. And in fact, he made a like a documentary a few years ago, and it was really cool. So ZZ is on board as the filmmaker or the video maker, whatever. He's the guy that's making the video. That'll be cool. Satriani and Vai have known each other for over 50 years. Steve Vai used to take guitar lessons from Joe Satriani. And apparently Satriani was, he was not easy. If Steve showed up and he hadn't practiced, then Joe would just send him home. Go home. You didn't practice. Come back after you've practiced. Tough, tough guy. And of course, as mentioned, they've worked together with the G3 for, well, since like, what, 94, 93, something like that. Long time, but they've been friends for a long time. I'm surprised this is the first time they've actually worked on a recording together. That should be fun. We got some Journey news. You know, I love the Journey. So let's talk about Journey. Specifically about Ross Valerie. Ross Valerie has a new album out. We've talked about it a little here. He's talked a little bit about the split he had with Journey. Actually, the second split he had with Journey. He talks about it. He tells Rolling Stone, quote, "What an amazing experience. I'm so blessed to have spent the better part of 50 years in a band that's remarkable. All the fine players and singers that have come through the room that I had the privilege of performing with, including the current players. These are all brilliant, talented people, whether they are present in the band or not." So, class act, Ross Valerie. He could start, you know, talking about how he was dealt poorly and all of this, but he maintains the high road. So he doesn't really go into details much about it, other than the first time he left was back in 86, right before Raised on Radio. And trivia, who replaced Ross Valerie? Does anyone know? Do you guys know? I bet you know. Yes, that's who. Randy Jackson of American Idol. Randy Jackson, dog. He was the guy who replaced Ross Valerie. So when you watch those videos from Raised on Radio, Be Good to Yourself and Girl Can't Help It, it was a pretty good album. There were some good tunes on that album. Well, there's the dude. Randy was a bit skinnier in 1986. But you see the dude with the kid and play haircut, right? Playing bass, Randy Jackson. And when Ross and Steve Smith were kicked out in 2020, guess who they brought in? Randy Jackson. So the 96 departure, I think he just left. I don't think he was canned. I think he just left. But then in 2020, Steve Smith and Ross Valerie were kind of kicked out. Valerie and drummer Steve Smith were accused by Neil Sean of attempting to stage a boardroom coup to take over the group. Valerie denied it and countersued. Both sides later reached an out-of-court agreement that's been described as amicable. So there you go. So Ross is not slinging dirt. Class act. Classy guy. Great bass player, by the way, and vocalist, right? You think of the vocals of Journey, he was part of that collage of great background vocals and everything else. Marlon says, both Vi and Satch are great players, but I don't care for all the whammy bar theatrics. There are some whammy bar theatrics, though I think they've, if you see the current stuff, doesn't seem to be as much of that. At least I'm not sensing there is. It doesn't seem to be, but they're both phenomenal players and both just great guys, apparently. Every interview I've seen with either of them, they seem like they're cool guys. So I think it's cool that they're doing something together. Let's go to the mailbag. Again, you can email me, classicguitarrock@mail.com. Now, this one, I was super jazzed when I saw this email because this is something I would love to talk about. And this is a debate that I've had. So this is perfect timing. You know I've been jazzed about the new Priest album. Listened to it more this weekend. Invincible Shield. Listen to it this morning. I love it. Listen to this email. Hey, Jeremy, my buddy and I have argued for years, who is better, Priest or Maiden? What do you think? I have a nuanced answer for this. If we were to stop at 1984, I would go with Priest. Okay? Priest was always my metal band. I mean, I always liked Maiden and Peace of Mind and Power Slave, two of my favorite, they're awesome albums. If we were to stop at 84, and you know, that's maybe not fair because Priest had several albums out by 84. Maiden only had like, what, four? I'll even go a little later. If we would have stopped that doesn't help much. My point is, if we were to stop in the 80s, I would say Judas Priest. They would be my pick as the better band. Personal opinion. However, after Defenders of the Faith, and this is where Priest fans want to fight me in the parking lot, I'm okay. I'm okay with that, and I'll take on any of you. I'll take on all of you, one at a time, of course, but I'll take you all on, okay? Priest jumped the shark with Turbo and proceeded to jump said shark clear up until about Firepower. Firepower is not a bad album. Invincible Shield is a very good album. Don't come at me with Painkiller. Okay. I don't know what it is about all these people that think Painkiller is so, Painkiller is not that good. Not that good. It's about number 11 of the 19 Priest albums. I think Painkiller is 19 is 11 or maybe even 12, maybe 13. Painkiller is not that good. It's just not. Sorry. And of course, Turbo and Ram It Down. I love Ripper Owens. The Ripper albums. Okay. Nostradamus. Angel of Retribution. They're just, sorry. I didn't leave them. They left me. So where was I at with this? If I'm talking from the beginning of the band to current, with both bands, I got to go with Maiden because Maiden's albums, I mean, obviously some albums are better than others, but none of Maiden's albums ever dipped to the level of sewage that some of I'm sorry I have to use that word, sewage, but some of the Priest stuff in the 90s and was not good. Sorry. And this is coming from a Priest fan. I love Priest. So if I'm looking at the entirety of the catalog, I'd have to go with Maiden. Because Maiden, here's Priest. Super high, super, 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 super high in 1986. Then it kind of pops up for Firepower and then it's up. The good news, they're back up. Whereas Maiden is like this. They're up here. They drop down a little bit for some. They never sunk as low. They never jumped the shark. Okay. Even with the Blaze years, they still had some good stuff, right? The Blaze, the Maiden stuff with Blaze is much better than the Priest stuff with Ripper. And I like Ripper. Don't get me wrong. I love Maiden. I love Priest. So that's the nuanced answer. If we're stopping at 84, 85 range, I'll go with Priest all day long. But if you're looking at the entirety of the catalog, I got to go with Maiden. So that's the correct answer. Matt, that's from Matt C. in DC. Thank you, Matt, for chiming in or emailing us. Any of you can email me, classicguitarrock@mail.com. I'll even take hate mail from all the Priest fans who I just defended when I said Painkiller wasn't good. I'm ready for you. Send it. Bring it on. Thanks so much for watching, guys. We'll do it all again tomorrow. It's a Classic Guitar Rock Daily Update. Live long and prosper. Bye-bye.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I've ever heard.
Thanks for listening. You can email Jeremy at classicguitarrock@mail.com.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Tune in each weekday for the Classic Guitar Rock Daily Update.